Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Man, always a great blessing just to have Marlon and his family with us. We got to spend some time this week together and just always encouraged by him and what the Lord is doing through the soccer ministry in San Pedro Sula, and just encouraged to see just how God uses something as simple as a soccer ball, and how Marlon has allowed God to take his gifts and to use them to allow that to become a platform for the gospel. And it's just an incredible blessing to have him with us. We love you. We're grateful for you, Naomi, and for all your family, and just encouraged by all God's doing. Thankful for Vidal and his family and all those that are gathering with us this morning, whether online or here in our midst. We are really jumping into Joshua this morning, the first chapter of Joshua. We have been in the book of Exodus all year long, and there was a moment in Exodus 33 that the Lord just stirred my heart in an incredible way, and my heart just shifted to really lean into to this book and to just this picture of this man, Joshua. We see in Exodus 33, I believe it's in verse 11, we would see Moses encountering the Lord. He would go to the tent of meeting, and the Lord would meet with him and speak to him as a friend would speak to a friend. And there's a little tag along in that verse that I had never noticed, but that continues just to grip my heart. The scripture says that Joshua, this young man, Moses' servant, that he would not depart from the tent, that he would linger in the presence of God. And in that, God has been shaping him and preparing him for an incredible moment on the journey. And I was thinking this morning, as we look at Joshua chapter 1, we're going to see God just really speaking and engaging Joshua in a way and encouraging him to be courageous. And I was thinking, I was looking around the room in different services, and man, we need that reminder in our life. Some of you may be walking through different situations medically. You may be navigating the loss of a spouse, maybe navigating a new season of life. And in those moments, sometimes we find ourselves on the edge of something, and there's just unknowns about it. Sometimes those are really great things. I can remember when Grant was born, and there's a moment where you're just looking and you're holding your kid and you're thinking, man, Lord, I really need your help. Like I need your help so much. Like, I don't know how to raise him in a way. I need your help. I need your word. I need your presence. There's these kind of moments. Well, in this moment, last week we looked at Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and we saw this moment where God's people got to the edge of the promised land. And what we read about and what we learn about in that story is that Moses had set apart these people, one man from every tribe, and these 12 tribes, these 12 men are going to go in, and they're going to survey the land. They're going to look at this land. And what we see in that text is that what God had promised was true, that when they looked at that land, yes, it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was everything God had said it would be. And 10 of those spies come back, and they've seen the same land, but they look at it and they come back and they say, listen, the descendants of Anak are there, the Amalekites are there, the people are there, they're big, they're mean, the descendants of Chuck Norris are there, they're whipping people, we don't need any part of this, right? But two spies, they saw the same land and they looked through a different lens, and they said, these people are no match for our God. Like, our God is great, and we by all means should go in and possess that land. But there was a murmuring that took place, and there was a work that began to take place as those people came back. The negative report of those 10 spies began to circulate through the people that were there. And because of fear and unbelief, that generation wanders in the wilderness for 40 years. They wander in the wilderness, and that generation dies off and here they are, Joshua and Caleb are the only ones from that older group. Those that were 20 and over, those that were over 20 have died in the wilderness, but Joshua and Caleb, they gave the positive report, and they are there with God's people on the edge of the promise. And can you imagine that moment? It's a moment where they would have been afraid. There would have been many things that were going on, and they wonder, okay, we're back here at this time again. And I imagine there's all kinds of emotions that are going through their mind. And then there's something that happens in those moments. We read about it at the end of Deuteronomy, but we read that the great Moses, like there's this transition moment in the great lawgiver, Moses, the one that would lead his people, the one that God had used in such an incredible way, he dies. And Joshua is really being handed the baton in those moments of leadership. And like many of us, with whatever circumstances and things that come our way, it's a moment where he needs courage. And I want to encourage all of us today as we read the Word of God, as we see how God speaks to Joshua, and I pray that he will encourage us on mission for the glory of his name. In Joshua chapter 1, if you're able, if you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant Word. We'll read verses 1 through 9 together, and then you'll see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 on the screen, and then it's our tradition, really, we say that verse together at the end. Beginning in verse 1, the scripture says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.' Now all together, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for your promises. And we pray this morning, Holy God, will you speak? Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. God, I pray that you would encourage us in your promises. God, encourage us in your presence. Encourage us in your word. And send us on mission for the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated this morning. And again, super grateful just to be in these moments together. I think about this scene. I think about these moments that Joshua is walking through, and he's facing this challenge that is bigger than himself. He has a people to lead. We see this promise that he has to claim. He needs courage in these moments. He has to feel the thing that many of us feel along the journey and transitions of life. Can you imagine those moments? The scripture would tell us in Deuteronomy that they had mourned for 30 days, and now Joshua hears this message. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, get up," he says, "and cross that Jordan." And I'm reminded in these moments that the servant of God may die, but the mission of God continues. We as his followers. What a blessing it is to be part of his story, to be part of what God is doing in the midst of our world. We are a moment on the mission of God. We are a people, listen, that God is able to use as we surrender our availability, as we submit to his authority and his word. God can use us in incredible ways. And the reality is that probably Joshua in these moments, the thing that he needed most was courage. The thing that he needed most was to be reminded that God was with him. You know, this passage of scripture became very special in my life. Sherry had had gallbladder surgery, and it was in 2016. David, who was pastoring here at Cowie, felt called to another church. And in those moments, Sherry was having surgery, and we were at the hospital here. And we ran into some things with her surgery that caused her to be there a little longer. And it was just God's timing. As I was walking through the scriptures, I was in the book of Deuteronomy. And as I was reading and praying, we got to these moments in the scriptures. And as we were looking at the last part of Deuteronomy, and I was just having all this anxiety. I was thinking, you know, I was just worried. I was thinking, okay, David is leaving. What are we going to do? And, you know, Sherry was in the hospital, and I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, he's going to be gone next week, right? And I hope Sherry's out of the hospital, because it's probably just going to be me and her at church. And I was just kind of having these fears and these anxieties as I read this passage of scripture. And as I read and was reminded, listen, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now get up and cross that Jordan. Listen, we are a moment on the mission of God. God doesn't need us, but we desperately need him. And we, as his people, we are called to make the most of the moments on the mission. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, you can't be too small for God to use. Only too big. Only too big. You can't be too small. The people in this room that may feel inadequate and incapable and that you don't have the abilities, listen, you are in a perfect place for God to use you. But he needs no one. He chooses to use us. And when we believe and trust in his ability instead of our best efforts and all those things, it's incredible what God can do. It's interesting as we look at this passage, he's going to tell them that this land is theirs, but they're going to have to possess it. He says, every place that the soles of your feet will step will be yours. And so there's this sense that God has given it to them, but there's this sense that they're going to have to walk, that they're going to have to take steps. There's a battle that's still to be won, and they're going to be encouraged to go on this mission. Joshua's going to lead them in those places. And what I want to encourage as we look at this passage, I believe that's how God works in every generation. In the service before, we looked in Acts chapter 6, and we today set apart two men to serve as deacons in our church, and we looked in Acts chapter 6. It was an interesting moment in the life of the church at that time. The early church had grown. There was a multiplication of disciples. Many had been coming to faith, and as that church had grown, what we see in Acts chapter 6 was that there were growing pains, and what we understand about those growing pains is that imperfect people gather, right? And when we gather, there's no perfect churches. And as the church grows, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be more people. And here's what we can understand. All of us are not there yet. Maybe you want to say that this morning. I'm not there yet, right? He's still working on me. And so we have people who God is working in the power of his spirit. He's taking the word of God and conforming people to the image of God. But the reality is that we're not there yet, and we're on this journey together. And what we see in the early church is that they were having some growing pains. The scripture says in Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we see, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. Now, we talked about this morning. We talked about these spies that went in and looked at the land, and they came back, and there was this rumbling, and there was this this negative report that took root in the people. And because of their unbelief, they wandered in the wilderness. Here, the early church is faced with a similar moment, right? There is a the Hebrew would give us this picture of this like low, indistinct murmuring that is going. And so there's this situation that's come up, and there's a difficulty, there's a problem that's going on. And these Greek-speaking widows, they felt forgotten in those moments. And what we see is that the apostles don't get defensive, right? They get desperate. They begin to say, okay, here's this real need that's there. What we see about this was an actual need. This was something that was going on. And so they begin, I believe, to pray and to linger maybe in the presence of God. They begin to listen, and God reveals to them, gives them direction on what they would do. And we would see that they begin to lead in a positive way, that they would begin to lead in a good way. In verse 2, it says the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. In verse 3, we see that they select from among them 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task. And so there's a lot of ways that this thing could have gone. There's a lot of ways that could have happened. I brought 2 things that I always bring when we talk about deacons. We talk about just serving the church. Bruce Harwood introduced this to me a few years back. This is something that he always shares and loves to talk about. And he says that every person has really two choices to make when there's an indistinct murmuring or where there's something that's going on. And he says that, and you know, when we think about it, we have this same choice in our homes. We have this same choice in our workplaces. We have this same choice in all the relationships that we have. When there's a problem, when there's something that could cause damage, we could choose to gossip, or we could choose to engage in kind of that murmuring that's going on. We could pour some gas on the fire, so to speak, and we could fuel that, or we could pick up a water jug and we could begin to extinguish that fire, and we could begin to work in ways that would be for good, and we could work in ways that would be unifying and help in those moments. And we always are encouraged, listen, we want to be those people, right, that'll pick up the water jug. We want to be those people in our home. I heard a pastor say, he pastors a church called 1025 Church down in Georgia, and I got to hear him speak at a pastor's conference, and he said on the wall in their church that they have these words: we don't fight, we don't feud, and we don't fuss. And here's the reason. See, what we see in the book of Acts, and what we see in God's people on mission, even in Joshua, we are on mission together for the glory of God. And as the people of God, we've been united by the Spirit of God, and we're on mission together. And when we understand that, we understand that the stakes and the things that are there, this is His mission, and we're gonna walk in unity of that. Sherry and I, we decided a long time ago that as a family, we're not gonna feud and fuss and fight. Listen, we're united. In the scripture would tell us that for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will cleave into his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And we just made a decision a long time ago that we're just not going to fight, feud, and fuss, because we're on mission together. We're part of the same team, and we're doing something that is greater than us, and we need God's help. We need each other as we walk through these things together. And I just want to encourage you. Listen, we've got the choice in how we respond. Now, the church could have went in a few different ways. They could have fueled those moments. They could have had those kind of things where they're saying, well, they don't care about the Greek speaking widows. They don't care about them. All the apostles care about. There's could have been cultural divisions. There could have been these divisions that would have been over these differences there. But instead of that, what we see is they recognize this need. They appoint people to meet this need. They find people. They didn't say, hey, go find the most influential people you can find. Go find the best looking people you can find. They said, find people that have a good reputation, select from among you. They went to the congregation, select from among you these people of good reputation that are full of the Spirit, and appoint them to this task. And there's something beautiful that takes place. It says, when you do that, Acts 6:4, it says, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So in verse 3, we see these Spirit-filled servants, these leading servants that God is going to use to mobilize people to meet needs amongst the body. We're going to see in verse 4, that we have these scripture-fed and these scripture-feeding shepherds that God is going to use to help cause the gospel and his word to go forth in greater ways, right? And there's some math in here that's pretty easy, right? If we look at verse 3 and verse 4 and we put those together, we get verse 7. We get this reality that we have these people serving. We have these shepherds that are ministering in prayer and the word of God. And what we see as the church is growing. The Bible says the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Can I tell you, the church grows through faithful service and the ministry of the word. It's a beautiful thing when we see God's people serve together in that way. I thank God for the people in this bond that serve so faithfully. And verse 7, right, the number of disciples are increasing greatly. God is shaping his people for service. And I believe when we look at this passage, I believe when we look at Joshua, we see some marks of a servant. And I think three things that God would call all of us, anyone who would desire to be used by God, to serve him, to be used by him. I think there's three things we could see in Joshua chapter 1. I want to take our application from there this morning and we'll close. But the first thing I want us to see is to be established in his presence. When we look at Joshua, we see that he was the one that was lingering in the tent. He was the one that was lingering and dwelling and in these moments. We see him here and he's standing on the edge of the promise. He's standing in those places and we hear these words, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, therefore arise. What a moment that Joshua would be in. But there was words that God gave him that would give courage to him. There were words that God gave him that I believe we can find courage in. He said, just as I was with Moses, he says, I will be with you. Listen, this is good news, right? Joshua's courage wouldn't come from his position. His courage would come from his presence, from God's presence in his life. His courage would come in those ways. He had learned something, right? God's presence is enough. Be established in his presence. Number two, be encouraged in his word. As we look at this passage, we see three times that God tells Joshua, he commands Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and courageous. And then he says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. He says, you're going to walk in obedience to the word of God. Verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. That word in Hebrew for depart, it's the same word that's used in Exodus 33, where it says that Joshua would not depart from the tent of meeting, that he would linger in those places. And so here's this young man that would linger in the presence of God. And now as he is stepping into this new calling, as he's stepping into this new season, God is saying, you let the word of God linger in you. He says, you've got to meditate on it day and night. When God tells Joshua to meditate on his word, it's this picture of internalizing it, of pondering on it and thinking about it, turning it over again and again in your heart. I love the way this scripture words. He says, don't just read the word, remember the word. And he says, it shall not depart from your mouth. There's this sense that they're to repeat the word, that they're to memorize the word, that they're to speak this word out loud. And as we see the word of God on our lips, we see the word of God impacting our life. You know, when Sherry and I would go out to dinner shortly after we got married, I don't know exactly why I developed this habit. Maybe it was short lunch hours or things that, you know, maybe you just had a few minutes to eat and wanted to get back at it. But we would go out to eat and I would be done in like 32 seconds, you know, with my whole meal. And I would just kind of shove it down, you know, just kind of taking it in. I don't even think I chewed it. And she would look at me and she said, just slow down just a little bit, right? Just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the food. You know, we see a cow, and the way a cow would chew its cud, right? He'll eat that grass, and then that grass, he'll kind of churn on that grass, right? On and on and on. And in a sense, he's getting all the nourishment and all the things out of that. And when we meditate on the Word of God, we're allowing the Word of God to feed us. Robbie Gallaty says it this way. He said, you want to get into the Word till the Word gets in to you. We need to preach the Word to ourselves. We need to repeat the Word of God. And here's what it looks like. You rise up in the morning and we recognize that, listen, we are dependent upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we open the Word of God and we pray the Word of God. We just started in the book of John, if you're following along in the church-wide reading plan. And on Monday, it was John chapter 1, right? You can jump right in that. You can see handouts for that. Just finish the year in God's Word. If you already don't have this this kind of regular habit of being in the Word, it's just a great place to jump in. And on Monday, I was just reminded, I was thinking about some of this passage, and I was thinking about Christmas. I was just thinking about a lot of things, just kind of processing where we're going as we lead up to the end of the year. And in John chapter 1, the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We see these pictures. The Scripture says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that whole day I was thinking about how just the grace and the love of our great God, that he would send his son Jesus into the midst of this broken world, and that he would dwell, that he would tabernacle with his people. I was encouraged by that all day. God's word, as we marinate, as we linger in his presence, as we allow his word to linger in us, it changes everything. You know, Grant has begun to drive these last couple of weeks, and he got a car that someone, it was a used car, and someone had placed an aftermarket radio device in there, and it's a pretty cool device. It's got some different things on it that I kind of want to take it out and put it in my car. I like it so much, but it's a cool device, right? And in it, it comes with kind of standalone. It has maps, and it has the ability to navigate. It has all these different things that it can do. And so I was driving it and just kind of learning about it and playing with it, and I figured out that it had all these maps in it, but I couldn't really figure out how to navigate with it. And come to find out, whoever installed this thing, it has the maps on it, but they didn't plug the GPS into the back of the unit. And so it has these maps, but it really has no idea where it's at. It has no direction. And when I read and I think about Joshua and I think about us as followers of Jesus Christ who have been gifted the Spirit of God, if we've repented of our sins and placed our faith and trust in Jesus, Jesus would tell his disciples before his death, he would say, it is better that I go away. He says, because if I go away, I will send the Comforter. He will direct you. He will guide you in all truth. And when I read Joshua, he says, my presence is going to be with you. He says, meditate on my word. And we see this incredible picture, right, of his presence guiding and his word directing. And when we see this and we understand it, and we become desperate and dependent on God, listen, we open God's word in the morning and we begin to get his word into us, and we meditate on that scripture, and we desire that the Holy Spirit might guide us and that we might be led by his Spirit. Some of us, we would say, I'm too busy to be in the Word. I need my sleep. I need those things. Some of you might think that. You might say, I'm so busy. I just don't have time to start my day in the Word of God. I would encourage you maybe to change your thinking, that you might just recognize and say, I'm too busy not to be in the Word of God. I'm too busy not to have the Word of God shaping my thoughts this day. In Acts 6, they had some of these same thoughts. They said, listen, we're going to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer. We draw courage. Joshua, he's going to be encouraged in the word. He's going to be encouraged with God's presence, we draw courage from the same place, right? From the unchanging word of God, from the promises of God. And so not only are we people who are those that have lingered in his presence, those that are established in his presence, those that are encouraged in his word, but we are to be empowered for his purpose. In verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Some of us need courage for the things that are ahead, for the obstacles that have come before us. Jesus would remind his disciples to be of good courage. So he said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will face tribulation. You will go through difficult times. But he said, be of good courage. He said, I've overcome the world. Joshua was stepping into battles that he could not deal with on his own. The early church, they were facing things in ministry. They were stepping into ministry they couldn't handle on their own. And both of them discover this truth that when God's people walk in his word and depend on his presence, that the mission of God continues, that there is courage that is given to his people for the mission. Because here's the good news, right? The same spirit that was upon Joshua is the same spirit that fills his people today. And if he is with us, then who could be against us? You know, Christ, the greater Joshua, he brings us out of the wilderness of our sin. And through the power of the Spirit, he enables us to do the work of the kingdom in community with one another, on mission, in the power of his Spirit. You know, it's a beautiful thing in Acts 6 to see how the church grew through serving. You know, I see Tom in the back, and after the service, he'll be available to talk about D group opportunities and ways that we can grow together in God's word. That's really what a D group is. It's a people who are reading the word of God daily. They're meditating on that word. They're gathering once a week in community with one another to talk about the word and to grow. You know, I think about our kid men, and every Sunday there's around 100 kids in second grade and below that gather in our kids wing to hear about Jesus, to hear the gospel, to be encouraged by God's word. The church grows through servants. I want to encourage you as you think about what God is doing in our midst. And you know, we gather on Sundays. We have these, but I want to encourage you to serve somewhere. Just two simple things and we're done. Serve somewhere. Find a place, not just to come and receive, but find a place to serve so that you might give and that you might use your gifts to bring glory to God. God grows his church through just servants that are willing to engage on mission. He grows it through his word. Serve somewhere. Second thing, serve someone. The people that God places around us, there are people, you know, I shared, people are going through all kinds of different things in our congregation and all kinds of different things in our midst. Meet somebody you don't know. Spend some time with somebody at a Wednesday night meal that you don't know. Learn about their life and allow God to use you to meet needs within the body of Christ. He can use you on mission in an incredible, incredible way. You know, when we hear from Marlon and we heard from our mission team from El Salvador on Wednesday, one of the things that I think we experience, and Marlon shared as we were in Honduras, that there was just this incredible connection. Just very quickly, we became part of a family. The greatest fellowship that you will experience in your life will be on mission together with God's people in his mission. Those things overcome language barriers. It overcomes obstacles that are in our midst, and there's something incredible because this is the way God's made us, right? That when we serve him together on mission, we are united in a way that brings joy and encouragement to our lives, maybe like nothing else. God doesn't need extraordinary people to do great things. He just needs those that will surrender themselves to him as Lord and then be used on mission for the glory of his name. Because just like many of us don't feel like we're enough, the reality is that on our own, we are not. Joshua wasn't enough. The apostles weren't enough. But God is enough. And he can use you in incredible ways. But before you can be used by him, you must be saved by him. Before you can lead others into the promise, you've got to step into it yourself. The same God who told Joshua, "I will never leave you or forsake you," has come near to us in Christ. Jesus entered the midst of this broken world. The scripture says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to give you life. He lived a life you couldn't live. He was perfectly obedient, kept all the law, was perfectly obedient to the Father. He lived a life that none of us could live. Joshua, he didn't keep the law perfect. He didn't walk in those. The scripture tells us that none of us do. But Jesus came and he did. He lived a life we couldn't live. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, that what we deserve because of our disobedience is death and eternal separation from God. But listen, not only did Jesus live the life we couldn't live, he died the death that we deserved. And he rose from the grave on the third day to give us life and to make a way for us to be in fellowship with God, to be forgiven of our sins and made new. You don't earn your way into salvation. Jesus is the only way. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to worship this morning. As you bow your heads with me, God, we're thankful for your grace. God, we thank you for your people, Lord, that gather this morning. And Lord, I pray that in the power of your Spirit, God, that you might speak to our hearts in these moments. God, I pray if there's someone here, God, that's never trusted you for salvation, that's never surrendered their life to you, that God, today would be the day of salvation, that they would recognize, God, that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, God, that they would understand that there's nothing they could do to save themselves, but God, they would believe and trust in you, God, that they would surrender to you as Lord. God, for believers that are in this room, Lord, will you call us? Lord, will you give us courage, God, from your presence and your word, that we might serve you? God, that we might use, God, our time, our gifts, Lord, that we might, as we heard from Marlon, Lord, a professional soccer player that's given himself to, God, to impacting the next generation. Lord, would you use us in those ways? God, might there be some people here that would say, God, maybe I've been on the sideline too long, but here I am. Lord, would you send me? Would you use me? Holy God, we're thankful. The same Spirit that God was with Joshua, the same Spirit that empowered the early church, God, that same Spirit can work in your people. God, we love you. We thank you. God, we pray, Lord, that we might respond in service and surrender. God, all because of your grace. King Jesus, we thank you. We love you. God, we pray you'd have your will and way in every life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand as we worship our God together?